Welcome to Harvest World Assembly, where the word comes like fresh bread from the ovens of heaven. And as you listen to God's servant, Pastor Gwenga Shafer, keep these words as they purify you in this journey of destiny.
But God really compels you to do anything without your cooperation. Before the Lord begins to move with you like this, because there's another scripture where it is clearly stated that the word of the king demands haste, which means when God speaks, you must align yourself immediately. But that may not really apply to you if you are not mature. Are you with me so far? Please, are you with me? Okay, you are not with me. Okay. So, you may not, please, are you with me? I need to be sure I'm putting this resource in the right hands. So when somebody is coming to me and, oh, I had this, please work on this feedback. If somebody comes to me and says, oh, I had this vision, I had this dream, I saw your two legs in the air, then I saw you had 7 wings, started flying, you are doing this. Even the way I'm looking at you, you know, when you see a meme, those memes, the look I give you when you tell me you saw me with 7 wings. So you subject that word to the principle of patience. Hang it in God's presence. And test. Oh. You go to the lab and your blood is extracted or taken to test for malaria. And yes, indeed, they found malaria. But now, they need to test what, or let's say, a kind of infection. It's not enough to say you have an infection. They need to test to know what that infection reacts to. Oh, try is chloramphenicol an antibiotic? They say, let's try chloramphenicol. Then they check through the microscope, no reaction. So, okay, check, use Augmentin, 250 milligram. There's a bit of reaction, but the thing is still strong. They say increase it to 500. Oh, it's not reacting. Okay, let's do intravenous. So, it is not enough, you see, to say I have heard God. Because the most powerful asset in the life of a Christian is the voice of the Lord. Are you with me now? The most powerful asset. When you pray, the proof that you have prayed is that he talks. Not that he comes down with lightning and thunder. So what every Christian should be bothered about is not when you sing and you don't feel goose pimples. You should be more concerned when you realize that it's been a while God spoke to you. You should be concerned. It's not a sign of maturity. That, you know, we don't talk every time, but when we talk, it's deep. You are lost. Whether you're a housewife or a banker, God has something to say to you at your level. Because God is interested in the project. He has a project in your life. And he's interested in it. Everything God is doing and every reason why he speaks to you is to protect his investment. So when the Lord says, I know the thoughts I have towards you and they are thoughts of peace. And then in Isaiah 55, he says, my thoughts are higher than your thoughts. So who are you to even think you even know anything about your life? Before you showed up, a script had been written. Go and check. Even for those who say they don't believe in God, they go to shrines. What do they want? They want Baba to say something. This is what the oracle is saying. A more powerful miracle than raising the dead and cripples and opening blind is the miracle of the voice of the Lord. And please, you need to understand what I'm saying. Don't get familiar, please. Don't get familiar. Because most of us miss it because we are familiar. You are familiar with the person speaking. You are familiar with the fact that God always speaks to you. So subject that thing you have heard to the principle of patience if it reacts. Because there's one other principle that supports what I'm sharing with you. That principle is that Satan, being an angel of light, being an angel of darkness, can convert and turn himself to an angel of light for a short while. But because that is not his estate, that is not his natural estate anymore, he cannot remain like that forever. So when he's telling you, eat that fruit, for if you eat it, you shall become gods. You shall become gods. And he's putting pressure on Eve. Because he knows that if he doesn't get her to respond now, this offer will only be available on Instagram for when this clock winds down. Cashing on the bonus, cashing on this, cashing. Click the bell now. Click the buy button now. That's how Satan works. And they have all these fancy pictures of what your life will look like when you have bought that product. But the first day you use the product, the Mary was on this side and the K was on the other side. You could not really explain what happened, but you spent 50-something thousand. And nobody even greeted you to say, ah, you look wonderful this morning. Go and buy your Vaseline and your Roro and be rubbing it because 57,000 is gone. Meanwhile, they will still tell you that for you to see the effect of this product, you need to keep using it. So it's a strategy. So it's Satan's strategy. There will be a buy button. You have to respond now. A brother came to me some time ago and he said, oh, pastor, he doesn't attend this church, but he's very familiar. You know, he said, ah, pastor, there are these two ladies in my life. You know, he only comes to my house when I want to discuss banking issues and financial transactions because he's a manager in the bank. So he just called me that day. I thought he wanted to talk about money matter. Or maybe they wanted to give me a loan. And I said, oh, there are these two ladies in his life. This is the person he loves. But this is the one that loves him. Now, both of them are wonderful. This one is a bit temperamental. This one is calm. I said, marry the temperamental one. Since you refuse to hear what we have been preaching, go and marry the one that will be beating you. So we talked about it. But you know, my experience usually is that when most people come to me, this is my own personal experience, so, and I'm just a tiny speck. So the population sample may not be sufficient to make a deduction, but this is my position. But when I also heard Pastor Chris say it, and I rested my case. Most people who come to me and say, Pastor, we want to know what God is saying, they are not really interested in knowing. They've made up their mind. But they tell you what they think you can undo. So you can tell them what they want to hear. Pastor Chris said, almost, that means out of 10, maybe 8 or 7, couple that he joined at Christ's embassy, he didn't support the marriage. But he's the one that joined them. He said, and he called them and said, bro, Sister Yvonne, I'm not in support. This is why I'm saying so. He will talk to them for 3 hours. They'll say, yes, Pastor. Then they'll go for 2 weeks. Then they'll come back. Say, Pastor, please, it will really make us so glad if you are the one who joined us. Like, who did I speak to for 3 hours? Like, these people are so impossible. Pastor, it will mean so much to us. Okay. So he said he has rested, that people will do what they will do. The problem with violating a word from the Lord, especially if that word is foundational, is that it will create a dent in your foundation. Became. When people come and say, Pastor, pray. This thing has entered your bloodstream. You should have come when the symptoms. Sometimes it can be too late. Sometimes. Can Jesus do everything? Yes. But can it be too late? Yes. Maybe because they felt like I was their mutual friend. And the lady in question, I led her to Christ. I was one who... So it's like, this is your prophecy, your only Baba prophecy. Baba prophecy. I love you, but it's not enough. We need to check the oracles. Are you with me? We need to check the oracles. Say, so shall it be that my word, which I speak, shall not what? Return unto me void until it has accomplished. Hey. So imagine that you actually violate. God's voice is not a joke. It's not a joke. It will save your life. Unfortunately, the most powerful encounters or experiences to drive home this point, they are usually very painful ones. Very painful ones. How many of you are aware of Rick Joyner? You know Rick Joyner? When there was a time he resigned as a pastor. And said he's not, he wants to go and enjoy his life. The way I'm planning to enjoy my own life now. You know he's a pilot. He went back and became a pilot. Was flying, seeing the glory of God, seeing the goodness of God. He will be on top of the sky. Wow, Harabari Kaba. And God will be asking Jamaica, is that not Rick? Say yes. Say, what's he doing there? Say, say it's like maybe he's just taking a test drive. Then they saw him again the next day. Michael, go and check this man. Something is wrong. Say, Baba, I saw him wearing ID card. He's working for the highlight. Then the Lord came. Go back to your commission. He said, it's not ready yet. It's not, like, look at his life. It's not perfect. Well, since when did God start calling people based on perfection? Some of you listen to, have you seen some of these YouTube channels and Instagram channels where they criticize churches and pastors? You people don't see them. Okay. Do you know what I'm talking about? Hey, so all of you, you know this, you now keep quiet. So you now be using what they are saying. Say, let me see what Pastor Gwinga will see. I want to compare. You will not see anything. The day you want to catch me, I will not come to church that day. I will join online. I'm preach online. They are coming for me. I'm going to Bagala church. We set a standard and told ourselves, to be a pastor, you must be perfect. Then we killed all our prophets. All of a sudden, no prophet to say, this is the word of the Lord. We took all our fathers of faith. We never said they were perfect. We hung them. This generation. We hung them to die. My parents. Or the generation above our own. They could not look at Pastor Kumi in the eye. Or Pastor Aribui. Because their works spoke for them. But this generation. Say, no, let's check everything. Open your book. I want to see what you are doing. Where did you get this thing? This is not scriptural. As some of you started following pastors, who encouraged you to despise your fathers? Question, I agree. Your father at home, is he perfect? Are all his decisions right? But were they made in best of intentions? So what's your problem? If you don't have what it takes to whitewash your biological father out there, then you have no right to do what you are doing. Unfortunately, this one is your father. He may be kind. This other one has oil on his head. And that oil can fight you. We destroyed our prophets because we didn't know the value. Then later people now say, the church is not the way. The church is not because you took a microphone and spoke against the body of Christ. God does not play with his bride. God has not put the judgment of his bride in the hands of any man. He's jealous. That's one of his names, jealous. Do you know anybody being jealous? It's only God. His name is jealous. So when you, before you think, even if you are, even if what you are saying is right, for Christ's sake, this is my wife. Do you expect him to beat her for you? Do you understand? I know some people will beat their wives, so for outsiders. I know. Some people are so bad. Say, I always stand by the truth. I don't show favoritism. I don't show favoritism. If you are the one that's guilty, you suffer. You suffer. That's why your life is where it is. So we made a mistake. Oh. We have made, and this generation must learn. Because now we have a lot of people who have now moved abroad, Canada, UK, even Cyprus. And their faith is suffocating. Because we destroyed their faith, they could not go into a church, for instance, and feel a sense of family. If you go to a country like France or some other Spanish or Portugal, and what they speak there is not English, but if they have an interpreter, as a Christian, you should be able to sit there and be blessed. Yes, not to be looking for your Tiwa Tiwa church. Most British churches are Nigerian churches. The ones that Nigerians attend, they are Nigerian churches. I don't plan to start a Nigerian church in the UK. I plan to start a church for British people who live there. If I start a church in London, you must not sing a Yoruba song. You must not. You are out. Go and join the prayer team. Yes. And if the church is in France, you must sing French songs. If you don't know it, be chopping your mouth. Wala, wala, wala. Jeremiah chapter 1. I'm telling you, these are the things most times we don't know. We don't know. Jeremiah chapter 1. Verse 11. Verse 11 and 12 or so, I think. Jeremiah 1:11. Are you there? It said, moreover, the word of the Lord came unto me, saying, Jeremiah, what seest thou? And I said, I see the rod of an almond tree. Then said the Lord unto me, thou hast well seen. For I will hasten my word to what? Perform it. So this establishes that God is only committed to what he has revealed. And please, peradventure, you are here. This is a prophetic church. So peradventure, you are here. One of the signs that will let me know that you are making progress is to know that you are able to determine the Lord's way in your life, regardless of whatever situation. There was a time Jesus, our Lord, said to his disciples not to defend themselves. He told them, in fact, when he sent them, I say, carry no purse, nor scrip. But towards the end of his life, he said to them, I said to you not to do this. Now, he was a sword. Let him keep it. So your level of hearing must be such that if God changes the rules, you must be discerning enough to perceive it. You must be discerning. This guy, Jeremiah, was a very young person. And the Lord revealed himself to him by the word of the Lord. I am 100% certain that most prayer points that defy solution is because somebody has violated something. Most times. I am persuaded. But the problem is that most times you will not remember what you violated. And when the pastor speaks, you say, sister, I'm seeing that there's a problem somewhere. Pastor, I don't know, but I'm seeing that there's a problem somewhere. And you will not open up. You will not open up. I told a lady, she used to be in this church. I said, look, This guy that is in your life, let him go. The guy lived in another country. She will not listen. Because you see, the greatest enemy to the authority of God's word in your life is your mind. Is what? Your mind. Now, you see, your mind is like a bank. The moment you feel, you think in a particular way, that information goes to your emotions and gives a coloration to that thought. It goes into your will, gives another coloration. But you see, that thing must first find a root in your mind. Your mind is like a bank. It warehouses everything you know. Even the way you see yourself. So it goes into your emotions and then it takes a purple or a scarlet blue coloration. You now realize that anything that has to do with our brother, you can't even hear God again. There's a bias. The moment you're already watching movies together, exchanging movies, sharing Netflix password, doing all those things, taking pictures and dancing in front of the camera. When you start doing all those things and saying, say, this is what I look like this morning. Okay, if you send me your picture, what do you want me to say? Is it not to say, wow? Me that I didn't even look at a picture, it was auto response. Is that with the dollar rate, is your picture I should be looking at? Me that I packed my bag, that once they open the border like this, oh, man, oh. Oh, I don't go with that. Once they open border like this, sir, we are looking for doctors. You are the doctor. I'll be doctor. I will laugh. Everybody say, sorry, are you medical? I say, no. Say, so why are you here? I say, hey, I have doctor. I have doctor. The scripture says to us, in Jeremiah chapter, he said, I will hasten my word to perform it. That means the moment I align myself with an instruction, with a direct command, it will now be God's integrity to bring it to pass. What I'm sharing with you is foundational to Christian. This is the first thing you should be taught when you become a Christian. That we live under the government of heaven. And as long as you are unable to discern what the Lord is saying, or what he is not saying. Because sometimes for you to learn how to hear God, you must first discern what is not God. Are you with me now? You must first discern what is not God. Like I used to tease, you know, somebody said, the Bible says, those who must be bishops must be husbands of one wife. He says, bishop God is talking about, not normal Christians. You see, that's another interview. It's another rema. You see, he say, so I say, hallelujah. Oh, go deeper, Papa. I play with fire. Say, bishop. Say, deacon, if you are called to the ministry, you must have one wife. One. Cannot have two. Say, tell your neighbor, one wife, wow, this one wife. Tell your neighbor, David had more than one wife. Tell your neighbor, Solomon had more than one wife. Oh, hallelujah. Tell your neighbor, the father of faith, Abraham, had more than one wife. Tell them, it's not you they are talking about. It's not me they are. Oh, tell your neighbor, it's not you they are talking about. Yeah, I feel the Holy Ghost. And before you say, sir, this thing you are saying, it will just begin to make people fall under the anointing. So you are not even awake to question the. Yeah, on the. You are laughing. You know me, I research strange doctrine. So that's how I know. The voice of the Lord can be your greatest asset. And when you have a matter, I've given you one particular principle you can apply, right? Subject it to the principle of patience. If it doesn't crack, then you can tick it and say, okay, we have our first confirmation. Number two, when you have received something that looks like the word of the Lord, everything that God says bears an essence of divinity. Do you understand what I'm saying? Everything God says has, is rooted and sourced from God, which means it has a divine element. If God says you are healed, there's power in that proclamation to bring healing to your body. All right? During the prayer month, some of you will observe that I gave a lot of prophecies about families, troubled marriages, and listen to me. Everybody, with the exception of no one, with the exception of what? No one. During the month of prayer that I prayed with or counseled with, by reason of a prophecy I gave during the prayer month, they were all asking for divorce. All. Hello? In some cases, both of them were speaking in tongues. Both of them speak in tongues. They say, Pastor, if she wants to go, let her go. Please, are you with me? Huh? So when I talk like this, I do it with every sense of responsibility. Don't assume it can't happen to you. Please, are you with me now? Now, before you make a colossal mistake, pay attention to the keys I'm giving to you. Most people cannot teach you these things because they don't know. They prefer to be seeing vision for you. Huh? How about you seeing the vision for yourself? Do you know what it means? Do you know I can abuse my gift? And I will not tell you all these things. I want you to be coming. As you are coming, you are sowing seed. There's somebody at Oworo there. Behind my house. VIP 25. Regular 500. After service. So they finish service early, around 12. The man will now sit down. The pastor, they will be the one collecting. Because, and then me too, I'm also taking note of how many people I speak to. So that in case David wants to play a fast one, I'll say, no, Pastor David. What I have here is about 150. No. Check it very well. Check. David, what happened? There's two. Oh, your magic. The money for two people here. Check your pocket. I'm not saying you stole. It could be there. So, VIP, you want to see the pastor very quickly and you want him to spend time with you. So, let's assume we have about 50. So, 25 times 50. Help me. Huh? No, it's not much now. 2.5 times 50. Oh my God. My wife is not. Huh? 170,000. 175. Okay, 125. The remaining 100 times 5 times 500. $50,000. So, Pastor David, you take 50. Because you waited. Now, this is how we do it every Sunday. This is how we do it every Sunday. So, at the end of the month. And we have to, the way we'll preach in a way that we want to see the pastor after the service. Because we know that's where we will make up for the differential. You don't want to give offering. Bring it to the pastor. So, Pastor David, even if I'm angry with him, he prefers we settle. Because this is good business. It's not everybody that will sit you down on Sunday morning. They prefer to come for prophetic conference. I'm here telling you how to do this thing. I'm telling you that if God speaks, that utterance carries a divine essence. Which means if you take that word back into the place of prayer, it will not diminish. Because anything that is contrary to the spirit of God's presence cannot stand his presence. If you tell, we went to a meeting and a pastor said this, you bring that thing into God's presence and say, Baba, this is what... Stay there. The problem is that we are lazy. Stay there in place of prayer. You can't cook an egg in 1 second now. Stay there until you see a sign. whether the word is true or not, and how you will know. As you begin to pray, you will get to a point your mind will start ruminating. Like, no, no, no. The Lord will start guiding the thoughts of your mind along a direction. Like, no, 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 no. This thing. You start having some kind of double-mindedness. You now take your double-mindedness, which is the only product you've gotten, jump into the book of James. And the book of James says what? A double-minded man. It's unstable. That means if God speaks, it must clear doubt. The moment the word now has failed the test of that trust, that, oh, God has spoken, I trust it, and you are now having a double mind, should I do, should I not do? Jump it. There's a brother I counseled with 3 months ago here in Lagos, who married a woman because his pastor said so. Everybody that leaves that church end up having problems. Oh, no, they start doing well. But you can't, while you are there, you will struggle. And many of them left with curses. None of them has left with prayers before. It's always curses. Now he has a problem with the pastor. And he's the admin secretary of the church. And I told him, I cannot tell you to leave your church. But you are in trouble. Huh? You are in trouble. So Google it. It was the pastor who told him, this is the woman you will marry. So he married her by reason of divine instruction, not by reason of loving her. Is there a place for divine instruction? But as the pastor flouted the principles for divine instruction, yes. There are people in this church who have gotten married. Before they came, I knew 1 week before they came that they wanted to, they were not in a relationship, but I knew 1 week, 2 weeks ahead. But my job as a pastor is to act surprised. Wow, praise the Lord. Wow, Jesus. Oh, congratulations. Ah, Yvonne, you're a bad girl. You're a bad girl. What? Ah, she has run away. Ah! You know, it's my job to act surprised so that you won't be afraid of me. Because if you sit me and say, wait, before you talk, who is Kunle? Sir, this is Kunle. Uh-huh. Kunle, are you from Ogun State? Say yes, sir. Ah. What shall we say to the man of God? Say, Pastor, you know everything. I don't know everything. You better tell me why you are here. And be very quick. Because me, I know they charge you. And I know they give shishi. So it just goes straight to the point. Let me join you now. The pastor told my brother, who believed in him sincerely, marry her. They got married, they started having issues. He told me, I made a mistake. The marriage is less than 1 year. So, believe me, the word of the Lord in your life is your strongest asset. Don't play with it. I've told you 2 things now. I said, when you receive a word, subject it to what? The principle of what? Of patience. If that angel of light does not unmask and become an angel of darkness, then you know, okay, first confirmation. Number 2, you take that same word and you bring it into God's presence and you are praying over it. You know, it was a word you received. You are not really sure. You know, the pastor just called you out randomly and spoke to you. And you feel this word is significant, but you are not sure. God will not hold you accountable for what you are not sure of. And you have to know, because some of you are living under guilt that somebody told you something, and then if the Lord, if you sit with it, be praying. You may just finish prayer and then turn on your YouTube channel and you just see a short video clip. And that will be the answer. Confirming that the double-mindedness, that conflict you are facing while you are praying, do you understand? It's now being confirmed. Because by the mouth of 2 or 3 witnesses, the truth shall be established. So you cannot just say, oh, for a major decision such as, should I go to Portugal or should I go to Spain? It's not a question of, they are both good countries. Okay? But you have to be sure where Baba is interested in. Moreover, Baba may be interested in Iraq. And you will not say amen. They will not say amen. Don't worry. Even me, I will not wish Iraq for you. After the word of God says that, I know the thoughts that I have for you. So it is those that God hates that he sends to Iraq. Even you, self, they will not allow you to come. Nobody, you don't have beards. You look like a slave queen. You are not willing to wear long dress, you know. So they don't come. We too, we don't want you in. But it's not like me now. I'm going very soon to Dubai. Once they leave the barrier, and I'll grow my beard, and I'll wear that thing when I get there. So all of you religious people can lose your mind. When I go there, I just wave my hand. If I even say Tesbih, I'll borrow one. Wait, I'll do like this. Love from Dubai. You take the word you have received and place it before God's presence. And this is not just about marriage. This is about every major, and my emphasis on major decisions. Because major decisions have major impacts. Are you with me? For instance, let me ask you a question. How do you know if the Lord wants you to eat rice or beans this afternoon? Do you think God cares? If you lie, don't eat. Don't eat. Pray. Eating is good. Prayer is also good. Take one. Come on, are you with me now? I'm talking about major decisions. Have you ever felt a restraint? You are about to go out and you felt a restraint. Not to go using a particular route. Or maybe to delay for 30 minutes before going out. Not that you are lazy. I'm talking about a real restraint. Because some people now, is the episode 15 of season 5 that is... Number 3. To be a man of the voice of God, you must learn how to enjoy being in God's presence. You see all this question about holiness, all these things, it's because you are not a child of God's presence. That's it. That's the struggle. Personally, I know, for some of you who are not aware, I'm still flesh and blood. In those days, when I was younger, we used to call ourselves Spirit Binga, Spirit Michael. In our fellowship, because we used to operate with our revelations. Spirit Ronke, Spirit Jackson. And then he will answer in tongues. Very anointed, though. After I be started fornicating. Because he said, what you do with your body does not matter. He said, we are spirits, we are gods. Until everybody had Pastor Omojo, everybody. Let me tell you, the moment one of the ways I know that my relationship with you becomes endangered, we may not be doing anything wrong. The moment I find that it disrupts the atmosphere of God's presence over me, you are marked. I mark you. Red. Blood red. And the first sign is I will reduce my chatting with you. I won't want to upset you, so I'll be cutting off. You won't know. Your chat will be there for days. And I'll reply with one word. That's the first strike. Then I'll block your status. I don't want to see your status. The third thing is that I will become unreachable. And I notice the moment I do that, the presence of God comes back normally. I don't pray. The thing about us is that we think that we have to wind God's presence. We have to charge it like a battery. No. The moment the atmosphere of glory is dissipating, there is something, a foreign element that has been introduced. The moment there is sin in Israel among the priests, the sons of Eli, God will begin to move back.
If God can no longer take it, we have to strike. So what I need to do before I start praying, God, send your glory, is to look at what are my recent activity. What are the things I'm doing? Do you know, I say this thing, but I really don't know if people listen to me. I've said that one of the ways to keep the presence of God in your life is to maintain an attitude of meditation, where you're always thinking and allow your mind dwell on spiritual things. It works like magic. You are not really far from God. Even when you are on top of your computer and you are trying to type a mail or send something, your mind is just like a default programming bending towards the Lord. If I decide to pray, it doesn't take me 1 second to connect. But when you put God in your quiet time box, and after you close your Bible, you close God, and you go out for a whole day, then you come back, you now notice that you need quite a bit of time to get back into the mood. And believe me, your emotions can affect the way you perceive God. Even though the presence of God is not an emotion, but your emotions can affect. Sometimes you are praying, just feel like you are a hypocrite. You that you have not prayed for 3 days. You are now coming to church and singing, I've got a message from the Lord. Is it you? Even if there's a message, is it for you? It's for those who have been praying. Learn to stay in God's presence to such a degree that you become one with that atmosphere. You will begin to know things by impressions. You will begin to know a lot of things by revelation. You'll be having flashes of revelation. Like flashy. It just comes like very regularly. Learn to pray. But this is personal for me. Learn to pray with your eyes shut. This is not a doctrine. It's just something I've observed. Or if you must open your eye, have nothing that has the ability to distract you around you. Turn off your data. Take your laptop to the parlor. You stay in the room. Every person in the UK that I've counseled with this year, as far as marriage is concerned, they are asking for a divorce. All. Because you are going into a land, you did not do your spiritual mapping to say what are the principalities in this land. In the UK, and if they are hearing me now, if you like, keep your visa, I don't care. See, hear me. Every land has ruling princes that are older than your own fathers. That's why you find that in those areas, divorce is a regular thing. How do you know the principality in Nigeria? Look at the lives of the people. You will see the work of the ruling prince. Any small thing is the man that will move out. You better stay in Nigeria. I know here is the woman that moves out. Once you go there, bye. Otom. Any quarrel. You know, I think, Joe, you need to move out. And it is not joking. You bought the house. You are the one paying the mortgage. But the system protects women. In Obodo Imbo, the woman is the husband. In Nigeria, the man is the husband. So, for all of you say, you see, let's just stay here together. Brothers, let's stay here together. They will soon pursue you for house. On a lighter note. Eh? Every one of them, they are ruling princes there. Depression, divorce, singleness, poverty in the midst of resources. They have a lot of things there that people consider normal. You will not see it on the surface unless you look very closely. So if you want to go, you must take time to pray. Pray! So that a happy home will not begin to have cracks. Some of you, the reason why, and some of your siblings, the reason why they are still together is because of the environment they live in and the kind of church they attend. Left to them, if your sister was in the UK, that marriage is over. And some of you know what I'm talking about. One of my wonderful folks here wanted to try, and I said, don't go.
She didn't get it. I said, don't go. She didn't get it. And I said, okay, you don't understand English. If you go as you are, your marriage is over. Pastor, he said, I can't go. I didn't say so. I said, take the next 1 year to work on your marriage. That's what I said. Because some people hear the prophetic call, they don't hear the wisdom that we need to prevent whatever has been spoken. The heart of the prophetic is the manifestation of the word of wisdom. The gift of the word of wisdom. That's the heart. After we have discerned the problem through the word of knowledge, the word of wisdom will tell you this is what we need to do. That's what your prophets on the mountains with three wives telling you, this one, you cannot marry someone, doesn't have children. This one has children. That's what they cannot tell you. They tell you to go and buy candles and come and be drinking all kind of concoctions. If you go into an economy where there are antichrist spirits there, you may get there and realize that your receptacles will shut down. I was listening to Apostle Arume, and he made a statement. He said he went to the UK to preach. We'll continue second service, don't worry. He said the moment he landed at the airport, he was cut off spiritually. Now, I can tell you that most of us here don't pray as much as he does. So it's easier for him to discern if he has been cut off. You may be cut off, you may not know till 9 months later. And it's nothing to be proud of. You know why you are cut off? From the airport. Is it Itra? What was that? He started taking pictures. So you are not sensitive. You are going to a nation for the first time. You should know that there's something that is called the covenant of your feet. Wherever the soles of my feet shall tread, the Lord will. That should be your first response. Not like, this is how we landed. Who cares? You can't be every time you go into a plane, you take picture. What's your problem? It's just a plane. Just a plane. Relax. I can understand it's the first time, but please, this is like the third time. Just stop it. Stop it. Stop embarrassing us. You just go into a plane every time, you snap picture. It's not like you're even sitting with Bill Gates or anybody. It's just you. In that, your business, economy, and you're in Abuja. Abuja, you're going. Just stop it. Pastor Arume said he prayed for 12 hours to break and restore his communication. 12 hours. So what if he didn't know how to pray for 12 hours? I heard him say, anytime he's preaching in a new city for the first time, he said he has to pray minimum 12 hours. Minimum. Before he steps on the pulpit. You think you get that by having a Netflix account? Or by having standard instruction to debit your account, because you cannot miss your Netflix series. Let's be spiritual. Hallelujah. Instead of trying to hear God, spend your energy abiding in His presence. His voice will come naturally to you. Let's pray. Father, in the name of Jesus, we ask this morning that you bless us and cause this word to be profound in our spirit, bringing us into the fullness of your will. We ask for clarity of instruction for everyone and for every family represented here right now, and even for those listening online, in the name of Jesus.